Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and we are assembled together for the blessings of Christ on this 16th day of February, just after we've passed our heart celebration, which for most of us is a secular heart. It's, for most of us, it's about love of friends, family, and sweethearts and life partners. For the most part, it's that, but it really includes everyone. And if you look at the social media, you'll see people celebrating the love of their, the love of the land, the planet, their most beloved animal, and it gets pretty sweet, really. I know it's terribly commercialized, and some people get depressed because they remember lost love or they don't have a sweetheart right now. But overall, if we can just focus upon the power of love to bring us into congregation, that's what I would like to focus on now, and just all the ways that we as human beings celebrate love. We celebrate it with dance and with song. We celebrate it with prayer and hugging and kissing and just holding hands and walking together. We celebrate it by talking with each other, heart-to-heart conversations that bring us into close communion with those we feel closest to. And then to bring us into a better understanding with those we have not felt so close to. Altogether, it's a good thing. Altogether, it's a very sweet, precious day. And I'm glad we celebrate it. But today, we're moving on. We're moving up to a higher plane where love really has no agendas. It's just the unconditional love of God for us, allowing us to have our way, whether it's right or wrong, and supporting us in it or correcting us in it, whatever needs to be done, taking us where we most need to have a new friend or a connection. And I invite all of you to come online and share that which you are feeling most drawn to for a blessing, most in need of, or more grateful for. Personally, I feel very grateful for the blessings in my life. And the gratitude I feel far outweighs the problems I face. It seems like there are always problems today. I don't care who you are. I'm sure if Yeshua was in a business suit walking around on the streets of New York right now, he would have problems too. So the problems are just not ending today. But a lot of it is just comes down to our state of mind, our attitude, and what we make of it all, what we have to say about life, what we are seeking from life, and what we're giving back to life. We can actually turn a statement that sounds a lot like a hustle statement into something quite positive. We'll just think that someone was actually just warning us. That's all they were doing. They weren't getting on our backs. They were just warning us. Or maybe they had some bad news to deliver, and they didn't want to deliver it any more than we wanted to receive it. But it was just one of those necessary things. So we accept life, and we look at, all right, so this is what it is. Now, how can I open myself to a greater blessing from God, from my fellow man, and whatever prospects may lie ahead of me? Well, I think I have warmed up the call with a little bit of positive attitude. I want to thank all of you for coming, because as we come together, we bring greater pieces of God into the into the, it's like a, I don't want to say puzzle because God is not puzzled, but you know, like the little puzzles you dump out on the table and you start putting pieces together. And at first you're just looking for all the blue sky pieces, and then you look for the brown earth pieces, and then you look for the river pieces and so on. You know how it goes. The more of you who come, the more pieces we have to work with. And it doesn't mean that the rest of God will not show up in the blessing. But as we learn from one another, we give to one another. And that giving is itself a blessing. So I'm going to take our first caller from area code 646. And you're on.
Oh, hi, Glenda. This is Elizabeth in New York. I'd just like to ask, hello. I'd just like to ask a blessing for my sister, Virginia. She's making big, massive changes in her life and is trying to hand over an animal rescue business to somebody else and sell her house and move, and it's just all very big. And I think she could do with some backup from Yeshua just to help her focus and let it all move along with ease and grace. Thank you so much.
I've got her on my list, and my blessings to her also, and to you for being such a faithful attendant and bringing the needs of others into our blessing circle.
And I would also like to wish you a belated happy birthday, which didn't happen last week when I thought it would. And all my love to you.
That's great. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. This is going to be a very interesting year for me. Oh, my. lots of things to celebrate and lots of logs to cross over. So I thank you for your wishes and your hope. And the same to you, Elizabeth. I wish you a blessed year. If anyone else wants to come online, well, our queue is empty at the moment. So that means I get to talk for a little while. And I wasn't extremely prepared today because usually our queues are full and I take my messages from those who come on. But here we have some people coming on now. And first among them is Tony. Hello, Tony.
Hi there, Glenda. Good to talk with you.
Oh, good to talk to you, too. And didn't we have a beautiful sky this last week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was really pretty. The we've had Venus and Mercury together visible in the evening sky. So Mercury is actually turning retrograde today. Later today, it will actually start its retrograde. And,
oh, dear.
yeah. So it's still barely visible. If you get someplace where you have a really good view of the west, Venus will be visible almost right away after the sun goes down, and Mercury will pop out after the sun's been down for probably at least 20 to 30 minutes. You'll be able to see Mercury as well. And so it's just been really amazing to see those two together in the sky. It's just been...
That doesn't happen every night.
No, they're not together in the sky very often that we could easily see them together. So I've been seeing them for the last couple of weeks, and so it's, if you have a clear western sky, you'll still be able to see both of them. And this is it. I was just looking at it. We're going to have a new moon next weekend, and then Mercury will be finishing retrograde when we have the full moon. So
wow,
yeah. So it's kind of well aligned with the moon cycle that we have unfolding.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's going to be great. Well, do you have someone you would like to put on the blessing list, Tony?
Yeah. I definitely want to put my wife's sister, my sister-in-law, Lori, and her son,
okay.
Logan. Want to add them to the list. And Judy's mom is flying back from Hawaii today, so a blessing for her to travel home safely.
Well, that's good, and I hope she has a safe trip. It's,
thank you.
It's a beautiful one, but you never know when you go up in the sky. Okay, well, thanks, Tony. It's really great to hear your voice. And I'm
thank
going
you.
To take a call now from area code 512. You are on.
Hi, everybody. Nancy here from Austin.
Nancy, hi.
I think we've been out of touch for several weeks with lots going on here with, I want to have a blessing of gratitude for new baby Isla that was born a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
And so lots of grandma stuff going on, and lots of family in town, and but missed everybody, and I'm sad I missed your birthday. I just feel sick about that, Glenda. That's just not right.
That's okay. That's okay.
Oh.
Hey, you know, I'm getting to the point where I don't want to think about them either.
Well, I love
maybe.
What you said earlier about our state of mind and our attitude and what we make of it all, and it seems like our, you know, whatever our present situation, our immediate situation is to, you know, it's like a portal for me. It's like whether it's good, bad, ugly, fabulous, it's just so important to recognize how God's working in that and that we don't need to jump over it. It seems if we do, we're not really sort of dealing with the blessings that can come through it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
We've had some good stuff happen, and then we've had some kind of crazy bad stuff happen. But you know, it's just I don't know. I'm just noticing the grace and the beauty that's through it all, and not resisting, and that surrendering kind of posture has really brought a lot of peace. And I thank you for those perfect words because they really hit home. To it was as if they were meant for. For me today, so thank you.
Oh, good. Good. Well, actually, they're meant for everyone because the simple fact is there's always going to be a little bit of a craziness, okay, in this world, especially today with all these changes going on and all this arguing going on nationally and internationally. There's going to be some craziness. But the thing is, what you take your attention off of passes quicker, and what you put your attention on lasts longer. So if you put your attention on the blessings and take it off the craziness, guess what's going to dominate in your life?
Absolutely.
And then as that dominates, guess what's going to multiply in your life? You know, I learned this as a little girl when my mother would allow me to have a few of the chicken eggs that were fertile, and she would allow me to work with the hen while she sat on the eggs, you know. And sometimes the eggs wouldn't hatch. And mother would teach me that, well, some hens are better than others. Some know to turn the eggs over, and they know not to be gone off the nest any longer than it takes to get a few bites of food and take care of other business, okay? And so she said, just watch this hen now. Next time she'll do better because she'll learn that she didn't get the baby she wanted. And it's kind of like that with us. We've got to put our attention on the things that are good, turn the eggs over regularly, and nest on them so they have the right temperature to become little baby blessings. That's true whether they're little chicken blessings, little duck blessings. Oh, I had them all. I had every kind you can imagine growing up on a farm. But this is true. And the fact is, it's not just humans. Some animal mothers are better than others at taking care of their young and bringing the young along. And I think it's because they recognize that this is life that's been given to them. Mm-hmm. That this little baby is a blessing. And right now, it takes a lot of attention. And sure, it can be a drag at times. And sure, it can keep you awake at night and so forth and so on. But all the love and all the attention you put into it is going to become a big, beautiful blessing as it takes its full place in life. And I know that as an artist, these little simple words of wisdom carried me from scribbles to a masterpiece. So many, many times when I could have become impatient, I could have seen, oh, this day's work is mush. I don't know where my mind was. I don't know what I was thinking. I must have been dyslexic or had a moronic right hand. What did I do today? And I'm always ready to throw it away. But I don't. I don't. I take a little nap, I have a little tea, I come back to it, and I just contemplate it, and I say, do you know, I only made one or two wrong moves, and I can change that right now. I can fix that. And then I get up the next morning, and I'm ready to go again, and it becomes the next step of a really good painting. And this is true, I've noticed, in business. We think it's all going south. It's just all going bad. We can't get the supplies we need. We can't get the customers we need. We can't get the help we need. And we complain, complain, complain. You know what? It just gets worse. But when we look at the situation and we think, okay, well, I can't get the supplies I need to do this right now, and you add those words right now, makes all the difference in the world. But I have supplies coming in over here, so I'm just going to change the plan. I'm going to work over here while these come in. I don't have any help here, but maybe I could get someone to outsource some help from somewhere else, and things start to work. Even if you don't actually get the physical property you're thinking about, the fact is your mind starts to fire on positive potential. And all of a sudden, everything works better. Everything works better. I can give you just a very simple example. I went to San Antonio last week to take my beloved kitty to a specialist clinic, and I packed up my various necessities, one of them being a little tube of antibiotics for my eye because I had surgery on my eye the week before. Okay, and this little bottle was white with a bright red cap on it, the kind of thing you can't miss seeing. You can't miss it. I put it in my purse, because I didn't want to run the risk of forgetting that it was in my luggage or somewhere that was inconvenient, so I'd have it handy and ready. I used it all the time on the trip. And then on the way home, I reached for it, and it wasn't there. And I panicked. And I said, oh, my gosh, I must have lost this somewhere. Maybe in a ladies' room or maybe at a restaurant when I was sitting down. And I looked all under the car with a little hand broom, couldn't find it anywhere. When I got home, I dumped everything out of my purse. I mean, you know, do the purse dump, you know, where every bit of lint is on the table.
Right.
And you go through everything. Okay. So I went to the pharmacy. And I got a refill on that prescription because I had to have it. Come home and find the other one with the red cap on it in my purse. Now, go figure. What was that all about? All I can say is I was so focused on the negative, the fear, the sense of loss, the sense of it's not there. And after I relieved the problem, because I've got my, of course it cost me $40 to relieve that problem. That's crazy. But as soon as I did, yeah, I could see that little white bottle with a red cap on it, and I went, holy cow. This is so it. This is so what we do.
Right.
We go into fear, we go into anxiety, we go into stress, and then we don't see the obvious.
Just been you turn up a bunch of static on the radio, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think this is why, after every blessing, after every miracle, no exception, Yeshua would say to the receiver, your faith has made you whole. Because that person's faith allowed them to see themselves perfected. I looked for a scripture. I was searching and searching online. I can't remember. I think it's in Ephesians where, and I will make a point of finding this for our blessing call next week because I want you to have the chapter and verse. But in this scripture that just ran across last week, it said, you are God's masterpiece. And when I saw that, I thought, wow. Think about all the people in this world who would say, no way. A masterpiece? And then a few would say, well, maybe me, but certainly not them.
Right.
You are God's masterpiece. Now, if you're his masterpiece, that tells me that all this stuff we fuss about on ourselves is just stuff we created or the world placed on us or some other fiction placed on us or some other situation has laid upon us so we would have a lesson or a challenge or some situation to walk through. You're God's masterpiece.
Right.
So what happens in the blessing is he reconnects with his child, the masterpiece. And from inside out, that masterpiece washes away what doesn't seem to be right or perfect or even wrong. This is why the number one teaching Yeshua had to the world, and more than that, to his apostles, was something that has been misinterpreted through the centuries by humans who believe they were created wrong and have to be made right. He told his apostles and all the congregations that assembled on the hillside to listen, he would tell them to repent. Repent. What does that mean? What it means really is you're walking in the wrong direction. Turn around and go home. It's just like the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son had everything. He was the sweetest, the most handsome, the most brilliant, the most favored, but he wanted to go out to the world and prove that he could make it on his own, to prove that he didn't need the benefits of his father's support and blessing. I'm a big boy now. I am rough and tough, and I'll go do it myself. Thanks, Dad, and I'll take over now. That was the prodigal son. He went out. He struggled over everything, got into every sort of trouble, wound up virtually living in a ditch, and he learned the lesson of the glorious, humble self. He wound up in a ditch, but in his humbleness in the ditch, he realized the glory that he was from the very beginning. And then he returned home with no sense of defiance, no sense of well, I got to go prove it for myself. He was humble, but glorious. And therein is the real meaning of repent, is we accept in the world the humbleness that we were not created to dominate this world. There's no way you can do it. There's no way any political leader can do it. There's no way any brilliant scientist can come up with the answer that will dominate the world. We weren't created for that. We were created to stand in our glory as the masterpiece of God. And what it takes is being in the world and being humble. And why, you ask, well, why do we go out to the world if we were perfect and everything was right? Because we weren't humble when we were Mr. and Miss Prince and Princess. We took for granted in the chambers of heaven that, well, okay, all right, but I want to do it for my, thanks, Dad, but I want to do it for myself. That's not humble. That's not humble, my friends. And so Dad says, okay, go take a shot at it. Go take a shot at it. See what you find. Well, it's the story of Job over again. It's the prodigal son over again. What did Job say? Is he said, oh, Lord, I don't need anything but you. That's humble. And I want to clarify the difference between humility and humble and meekness and humility and humble. There's one of the blessings, the Beatitudes, that were preached on the Sermon on the Mount that said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I always wondered about that. And I wondered how the downtrodden could possibly inherit the earth. How those who are so weak and collapsed and in a state of self-deprecation could inherit the earth. And then Yeshua clarified that for me in our conversations, and you might want to read about it in Love Without End. And Dr. Applegate, who was the biblical researcher who helped me to confirm that the things I heard were in fact accurate, and he said, no, in Aramaic, it means humble. And I said, is that the same thing as humility? And he said, well, humility has humble for its root meaning. But what humility means is rediscovering your humble self in the earth. Humility means of the earth, as in humus. Earth is humus. Okay. And so when we are down to earth, we recover our humbleness, which stands in glory. And so as Job was pushed down further and further into the earth, he first had to live in humility. Poor, living in rags, a beggar, sick, his family sick, and he felt ashamed. So often we associate humility with feeling ashamed, and that's not what the blessing means, not at all. It means the rediscovery of your humbleness in glory. Then you can be the child of God wherever you are. You do not need to be lifted out of the earth by the angels in order to feel glorified and special. This is basically what God told Yeshua in the Garden of Gethsemane. He basically told him, son, I don't want you to suffer, but I want you to discover You do not need to be lifted out of this by the angels. You are glorified in your humble work, that you have walked the earth in sandals. You have sat beside the lepers. You have healed and fed the hungry. You are glorified because you're my son. And so I'm saying this because I want all of you to see that there's a glorified side to everything. You may be suffering, and maybe all you need to do is flip the coin over to reveal the bright, shiny side. Only the side that's been facing up has gotten tarnished, and the other side has been protected. So flip up the coin and feel your glory. As Yeshua would say, your faith has made you whole. Now, we've got two more people on the call, and I'd love to take them. Desmond, you've been waiting a long time. Welcome.
Oh, hey, Brenda, I was just like, in like a dream following all your visionary thoughts. And so I talked with my friend earlier today, and I had these visionary experience with her, just going through, like, it's almost like hypnosis where you're just creating imagery that makes you feel good. But like one of the big things that I've been thinking about is, well, I thought that was interesting when you were talking about the hen, but also like I've been realizing how much a man and a woman are both, you know, partake in building the energy of love. But what I realize is, like, not till love is greater than the desire for carnal pleasure can one overcome it. That was just kind of like my own realization, and I had this visualization of my one girlfriend in junior high that loved me so much. I at that point I was really popular, and I was also in love with another girl. But what I realized is that if I had the wisdom to do that, I could have been set with like an extraordinary amount of love throughout my whole life without having the even desire for carnal pleasure, just for the whole desire of the energy of love.
Yeah. It's miraculous. It really is. The energy of love just blows me away. Well, thanks, Desmond. These are really great comments, and we appreciate you so much.
Thanks, Amber.
Before we go into our blessing, I'm going to bring Susan on. Hi, Susan. You've been here waiting and waiting. Thank you.
Oh, no. Actually, I wasn't. I was listening mostly. And then, of course, I felt the need to say something. I just want to bless the doctor that worked on my eye, because since June 10th, my vision was really bad. And I'm actually blessing myself because it was like initiation, a test for me. I didn't really focus on that. I just said, for sanity's sake, to myself, I needed to just accept it as it is. And, you know, if at any time it's meant to change, so be it. But I knew that sanity was the most important thing, and that would only come through an acceptance of what it was for that length of time. And it's 1,000 times better. So I am grateful, and I bless the gentleman who I really struggled with whether or not I should go forward with it and with him. And so I want to, you know, say that and put the blessing to my doctor friend. And
okay.
His name. But I also want to say that I was talking to a friend, and we had a conversation about being on Earth and seeing through the eye of a needle, so to speak. And so the need so important to connect with God, where, you know, the vision is so much greater. And then she came up with a passage from the Bible, 1 Corinthians, about seeing darkly, and I don't know anything about the Bible. And so I'm reading a book for book club called Hillbilly Elegy, and in it, one of the main characters, his grandmother is dying and struggling to let go, and he opens the Bible arbitrarily to the same passage that she mentioned, and I immediately
talk
to her. But I think that is amazing. And I just thought I'd
That's great. Well, God's words are living in that book. You know, there is human content in it as well. And we note that as we read along, but God's word is on every page. So, there's much to discover there when we're wondering, well, what's going on? What do I do? Sometimes I just go open the Bible and I read whatever I open to, and there's always some kind of answer that addresses my problem or my issue. And I highly recommend to you the best-selling book on earth since forever. It's still the best-selling book on earth. And ironically, it is the most shoplifted book on earth.
Really?
Who would think that? Who would think that, considering the words, thou shalt not steal? But apparently, the desire for God's word is great enough to think, okay, I'll just take my chances because it's worth it to reconnect. And that's okay by me. I don't make judgments. I was just making humor out of it. Mm. I think it's amusing to me. Okay, all of my friends, it looks as though we are at a perfect endpoint. 3:36, time for our blessing. And I will lead you into it by just saying, relax. Take a deep breath. Take at least 5 seconds to take it in. Hold it. And then at least 5 seconds to let go of it. And let's do this 5 times. Now, why do we do this? Well, because our life started with breath. And God is the breath of our life. And breath is more than just the taking in of gases into our lungs. And more than just the releasing of used gases from our lungs. It's a symbol of taking in everything that nourishes our life. And then releasing back to the environment that which we don't need, but others do. We are all connected in one enormous breath. And I'd like to remind you that every breath you breathe has already been breathed by someone else. And every breath you exhale will be used by the planet for the reformation of life and the forwarding of life. We are all truly connected, giving, taking, seeking, and releasing. And now I will say my prayer to Yeshua. O Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you have given us. And we ask that our eyes and ears be opened, that we may see blessings you've given and have not yet recognized. They're here, just with a shift of a viewpoint, with a change of a heart, with the opening of a doorway in our mind. All the blessings have been given, waiting to be received. So we ask that you make us ready for the receiving, that you enter our heart and our life, fill it with grace, fill it with gratitude for that which has already been given. Calm our anxiety, we pray, please, and strengthen our faith. Calm the waters of our fear, and help us to be grateful that today there is at least something perfect that we can look upon and say, thank you, God. We ask that you be with each person on this call. You already know who's here, and you know what it is in their life they need. We don't have to say it out loud, but we ask that you help them to know that you're listening, just by giving a sign, any kind of sign that can strengthen their faith in the receiving of a blessing. We ask that you be with the sick and the hungry, with those who are struggling to understand why is the world the way it is, with those who are struggling to find a friend or shelter or safety from whatever storm is raging in their life. We ask that you help them walk on water and push back the storm. We thank you with all our hearts, and we ask these things in your beloved name. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin, and everyone else, start your prayer. Your blessing has been given. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes and we fully receive. Bye-bye from me for now. I look forward to being with you again next week. Much love to all of you.